Thank you for the hope that you give us. The faith. The grace to see to tomorrow. To trust you. Lord, we know that your kingdom is advancing. Your kingdom is increasing. We thank you that we get to be a part of your kingdom. For your invitation, we say yes. We love you. And everybody said, amen. You can have a seat.
Welcome to Beltway. We are so excited that you're here with us today. We're going to have an awesome day of worship and word, and we are just excited. If you are new here and you've never done it before, we would love for you to fill out our guest card. It's in the seat back in front of you if you're in our live services in person. But online campus, want to welcome you. So glad that you are watching with us. In fact, I want to encourage you not just to watch and not just to view, but to begin to engage. And one of the ways you can do that is by filling out our guest card, and we would love to get in contact with you and help you take your next step here at Beltway. So if you're here physically in our physical services, you can grab that guest card, fill it out, take it to our guest services, and we will take it there. And then also, we have Start Here every Sunday, every service, right after service. And so that's where you go for about 15, 20 minutes. You meet with a pastor, talk with them about what Beltway is all about, and figure out what's your next step at Beltway. If your kids are in kids ministry, leave them in there. Go to Start Here. You won't regret it.
I love it. If you came prepared with your tithes and offerings, you can check the screen for all the ways you can give those, or you can put them in the black boxes on your way out of the worship center.
Thank you so much for your generosity. It's because of your generosity that we're able to do what we do here at Beltway, and we have such generous people.
Absolutely. It is a gift. Something we want to put in front of you, if you have any interest in the Beltway College of Ministry, at 2:00 at the North Campus Sunday, we have an interest meeting, and we would love it if you would join us. We cannot wait to see this launch. It's going to be incredible.
It is going to be incredible. I'm super excited about that. All right, well, let's get ready to listen to what the Lord has for us today and listen to the preaching of His Word. So get your Bible out, get ready, and we'll do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for all the people who are gathered here, both virtually and in person. God, we just pray that your presence would flood wherever they're at, flood our sanctuaries, our churches. Lord God, that you would move today through the speaking and the preaching and the teaching of your word. We love you. We give this into your hands, and we trust that you will meet with us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good evening. Hey, I know we just prayed, literally just prayed. But I wanted us to do something. This series has been a funky series to preach. It's been a weighty series in lots of ways. And so I just want us to ask the Lord really quick, kind of a real personal prayer. So if you will, close your eyes. And I just want, if you're comfortable with it, we usually end service by putting our hands out and receiving a prayer blessing. All we do that for is just to try to convince our hearts and minds that we want to receive. So if you're comfortable with it, bow your heads and then put your hands out in front of you. And I just want you to ask this prayer. God, do what you have in my heart tonight. Whatever you might have for me, I want whatever you have. Amen. All right, so we're finishing up our series on Matthew 25, this series we've called All In. We're finishing up tonight, and I want to start by asking, how many of you are big basketball fans? Yeah, see, almost no one. That's pretty. Did anyone raise their hand? Yes. That's impressive. For good reason, actually. The NBA's gotten a little bit unwatchable recently, but I will say this. The new Space Jam came out. And it's getting great reviews, gonna receive rewards and stuff. It's just a great movie. I came across an article the other day that was super interesting to me. It was talking about the wealthiest NBA players of all time, so the ones who made the most money. And if you're anything like me, your brain immediately goes to, it's probably the best players of all time. Guess what? You're right. It is. The first one on that list is the greatest NBA player that's ever lived. And if you have a different opinion than this, just leave, okay? You can email me. My email is, I was going to try to say David's email, but then if I mess it up, I was going to be getting in trouble for that. But it was Michael Jordan, okay? He's worth $2 billion. That's a number that just, I can't even wrap my head around. Number two on the list, probably because of what a great actor he is, LeBron James. He's worth $1 billion. I mean, the list is filled with the best NBA players that have ever lived. Magic Johnson's on that list. Shaq is on that list. Obviously, Kobe would have been on that list had he not passed away. I mean, these guys were paid tens, hundreds of millions of dollars in salary and endorsement. But then the number three person on the list, right behind Michael Jordan and LeBron James, is Junior Bridgman. I've looked at this sermon a bunch of times as I was making sure my heart was ready to preach it. I cannot remember his name. It's Junior Bridgman. He played 12 years in the NBA. He was never the best player on his team, or the second best, or the third best. He didn't ever consistently start for a whole season. He made, over his 12 years in the NBA, $4.2 million. Now, that's a lot of money, right? But when the guy ahead of you made $1 billion, and the guy ahead of him made $2 billion, and somehow you're number three on that list, just bringing in $4.2 million, you got to ask, how in the world did he do it? Because it wasn't his salary. What Junior Bridgman would do every year, he would take what he had received in salary, and he went to business school. And then slowly, he started buying up. He bought a Chili's franchise, and then he bought a Wendy's franchise. So he got all the people that love those nugs and that Frosty. And then all of us who like generic chain restaurants. I love Chili's. Then he grew those and then sold them. Then what he did is he bought the rights to distribute Coca-Cola for the entire country of Canada. And Junior Bridgman is worth $600 million. That's the opposite of the way most NBA players go. 60% of NBA players are completely bankrupt 2 years after they leave the NBA. 60%. A guy who would have been number 25 on that list was a guy named Antoine Walker. He made $106 million over his career. He was an all-star a bunch of times. 2 years after he left the NBA, he was completely bankrupt, had nowhere to go, nowhere to stay. 2 years after making over $100 million more than Junior Bridgman. And both these guys were given just immense resources. I mean, $106 million, $4.2 million. That is an immense amount of money that each of them was given. The biggest difference in the two of them is how they chose to use what they had. One of them consumed it all on whatever he wanted, and the other chose to invest it. So today, what if I were to tell you that in our lives, we're far more like Antoine Walker than we've ever been like Junior Bridgman. Far more often, we're consuming what we have instead of investing what we have. That's been my life. And we've all been given resources. And when I think about the resource that I've been given, one of the greatest resources any of us has is our body, right? I mean, you are here. And in 1 Corinthians 6, it says that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We house the actual embodiment of God, and that we should glorify him with our bodies. If I'm honest with you, over the years, this temple has had expansions. When I married my wife a little over 15 years ago, I weighed 135 pounds. I saw a guy this week, and he said he weighed 135 pounds, and I was like, you're just a baby. Where's the rest of you? Last fall, I had to go get a COVID test. And for some reason, this is a sidebar that just really annoys me. For some reason, when I went to the doctor to get a COVID test, They make you stand on a scale. I don't need to know that I'm fat. I just need to just shove the thing up my nose and see if I have COVID. Maybe stand on the scale, and I look down, and I saw a number I had never seen before. I was like, come on, doc. This is the trick scale, right? And I stepped off that scale, and I realized that all that ramen for lunch and the, you know, chips and queso for breakfast, it was starting to get to me. And if I didn't figure out pretty quickly what I was going to do, the most valuable resource that I had been given, which is me being alive, was going to be gone by the wayside because I was just going to waste it away consuming anything that I want. And I bet if you think about your life, and you think about the resources you've been given, you're probably not that different than me. We are the kings and queens of wasting time. Try explaining the very idea of binge watching to somebody who's never done it. Just sit down with them and tell them, what I do is I pop popcorn and I watch 17 episodes of a television show. And then I start the next one. And you watch them look at you like you're an alien. Or we'll pick up our phone, like, you know, we put the kids to bed. We're like, okay, I got an hour, and then I need to be getting myself ready for bed. I'm just going to look at a couple of TikToks. Just 3 hours later, you're like, the kids are going to get up soon, and I still have not even started getting ready for it. We are champions of wasting time. We're great at wasting money. I moved this last week. I moved 3 years before that. If you're curious why I do this, it's because of my wife. It is her fault. And we were moving boxes that were still boxed up from the last move. And I said, never again. And you know what? I probably will move that box again. See, we are just champions at wasting money. We're good at wasting our talents. Some of you have got these big, great personalities that are loud, and what you could be doing with those is you could be bringing people in, that person that's all by their lonesome at work, and instead, often what we do is we just want everyone to look at us. I'm not sure where you're at as you live your life, but I would guess that you're more similar to me than different. We have this propensity to waste all that God has given us, and we're at a crossroads. Will you continue to choose to live your life and my life the way that we are? The Junior Bridgman, or the Antoine Walker route, consuming everything that we have? Or do we want that Junior Bridgman route? That route where I take everything that I've been given and I invest it and I see the rewards that I might receive. Will we reap the rewards of a life spent utilizing all that we have? Or will our lives go bankrupt? In Matthew 25, this passage we spent the last few weeks hanging out in, Jesus shows us, every single one of us, whether we like it or not, this is a decision that we must make. So if you will, grab a Bible. If you didn't bring one, that's all right. There's one around you. You can pick up your phone. Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 14. Jesus is telling a parable, says this: "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." So before we get too far into this story, the man in this story, that is Jesus. The journey that he went on is back into heaven after he came, lived his earth, died on the cross. Then he went back up into heaven, and he's going to come back a second time. The servants in this story are you and me. That is the story that we're about to hear from Jesus. Goes on, he says, "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability." So this word talent, that's not talking about the way we often think about talent. Talent is a unit of money. So it's a measurement of money in this time. And it's not like insignificant. It is a significant amount of money that each of them were given. He didn't hand one a $5 bill, $2 bill, flip a $1 coin. I mean, it is massive sums of money that he is saying are given to each of these servants. But he uses money to paint a picture so that we can understand a much larger idea. Goes on and he says, He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more. His master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So the master comes back, calls all these 3 in there. Can you imagine being the guy who had the 5 talents? You ever get called into the boss's office or the principal's office and you know that, like, you did the right thing and you're looking at the other people who might not have and you're like, yeah, what's up? He just walks in there like, I had 5. And now, I have 10. And the master looks at him, and you can hear the pleasure in the master's voice. He says, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will entrust you with much. Now enter into the joy of your master. He says, Great job. I'm so proud of you. Here's a raise. Here's a promotion. Now enter into the joy of your master. You want to know what we don't know? What does that mean? I have no clue what the joy of the master is. But I will tell you this, if the option is be in his joy or outside of it, I know which one I would prefer. And then the second guy comes in the whole same interaction. He says, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will put you over much. Now enter into the joy of your master. And you got the third guy. He watches 5 guy go and he's like, Thank God that guy's gone. He was, you know, he leans over, he's like, that guy was the worst. Oh, you have 4? Guy who has 4 goes in. Guy who had the 1 looks around. He's like, walks up to the master. And he does what so often we do when we know we've wasted something that we have. And he makes excuses. See, think about how often as we waste our talents and our resources, how our go-to is excuses. With me, my excuse to not go to the gym is that I am alive and the gym is dumb. I still believe that with all my heart. Our excuse when we waste our time is, well, I'm just tired after this long day at work. Or when we waste our money, it's just, well, you know what? I just really needed this thing that I bought. We lead out with excuses, and that's what the last servant does. This is what he says. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered, You wicked, slothful servant. You know I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was mine with interest. So over the years, I've had my fair share of tongue lashings. This might surprise you, but when you've done something wrong and you get that email from David that says, Hey, can I see you in my office? You're not like, woohoo! He's not the teddy bear that he seems when he preaches. This master says, You wicked, slothful servant. You know who I am. You know that I expected a return on what I gave you. You know that, and you thought the thing you should do was literally nothing? How could that have been your response? Then comes the punishment. The master says, So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is no slap on the wrist. This is no, hey, you'll get it better next time. This is get out. I never want to see you again. Give me all that I gave you and leave my presence. You want to know what we all think when we read this? I mean, that was a little too harsh. He still got the one talent back. Don't miss what Jesus is trying to convey to his audience and to you and I. What we do with what we have matters immensely. What we choose to do with all that we've been given, it matters immensely. It matters in the here and now, and it matters for eternity. And those three servants each had the same choice to make that you and I have to make. What will I do with what I've been given? In this parable, Jesus used the word talent. So if you've grown up in the church often, I've preached this sermon talking about how it's just talking about your talent, your own skills and abilities. Or maybe you're like the super smart kid and you knew that a talent was money, and so you think that this parable was just about money. It is all of those things and everything else. It is the totality of all that you've been given in your life, and the crossroads that every one of us stand at right now, today, is what will I do with what I've been given? Will I choose to invest it and live a life of reward, or will I choose to consume it and live a life of bankruptcy? But you can confidently know from this parable that you have a talent that you've been given. In this right eye, personalize this. I have a talent that I have been given. Given is a key word in that sentence. In their interaction with the master, each of the servants was given a talent. They did not earn a talent, because if they earned a talent, they could do with that talent whatever they wanted, and it was fine because they earned it. It says the master gave them a talent. And every single one of you in here has a talent that you can give. There's not a human being that can say, well, that's for all those other people. And that's often our tendency, is we look at all those other people and we go, well, yeah, look at all that they have. Because the master pulls in all three servants and he gives to each of them according to their ability. And if you're one of those that feels like maybe you were just given the one talent, it's easy for us to look at those people that got the five talents and go, but God, look at that guy. Look at the job he just walked into. Look at the family he's getting to have. God, look at all the resources that guy has, and I'm just over here just burying this one talent that I've been given, trying to not have the world steal that. God, why couldn't you have made me a five person? What about that? Imagine if all of us had all of the same resources, talents, and abilities. What a boring world. What a weird world. I mean, let's take it actually as a talent. Imagine if all of you had the exact same talents that I have. You know what we would have? Anarchy. We would never survive with a bunch of me's around here. The world has me, and that's fine. We don't need a ton of me's running around. We need me to be the me that I am called to be. The world doesn't need a bunch of you's. All that the world needs is you to be the person that you were called to be. Maybe you are the one talent person. Guess what? That one talent can have immense impact in advancing the kingdom. But when we stop, when we'll get into the habit of just looking at what everyone else has and what we might not have, it handicaps our ability to even try to do anything else. Would I love to stand on this stage looking like Ashley Kirshner? Look at that beautiful bald head. He can sing and play the guitar. Think of how easy it would have been to date as you sang and played the guitar. When I sing, it sounds a little bit like someone is wounding a farm animal. We need Ashley to be Ashley, me to be me. And who am I to argue with God about the way he made me? In Isaiah, it says this, "Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?' Or 'Your work has no handles?'" That scripture says, "Hey, buckaroo, who are you to look at the person who intentionally crafted you and go, 'You know, you could have done things a little different.'" Who are we to look at the one who crafted each of the things that make you you and go, "Hey, but what are you making? Your design was not an accident. The unique things that make you you, guess what? They were put there on purpose. And you have a resource and a skill and a talent that we need in the world." But think about all the other talents we've been given. Think about our time and the opportunity that we have with our time. That's a resource we have no idea how much longer we have of it. You know what we do when we think about the fact that we don't know how much time we have left? We bury our heads in the sand and we go, "I'll just figure that out later." And scripture says this in James 4. "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to do such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." That verse convicts me every single time I read it because I think, how easy is it for me to look at something I need to do with my family or at my house or in my job and go, "You know what? That can be dealt with next week. What if next week never comes?" We've all been given the resource of money. I don't know where you're at financially, but I do know that we live in the most prosperous nation in the world, in the most prosperous time to ever be alive in human history, and we have all been given financial resources. Every one of you has been given a talent, a resource, an ability, a skill set that is unique to you. And the temptation for us as humans is to just consume it all for ourselves. All the resource of money that I have, I want to consume it all for myself. What I want, what I need, what I can possibly have. Same with my time. It's just, what can I do with my own time? And if you want to know why, if there's a linchpin of the degradation of society, it's that we have become the most consumeristic, narcissistic society in human history. Give me everything, require nothing of me. And that's the way we live. And the church, not Beltway per se, the church is not that different. We love to be consumers. But the talents we've been given were never meant to solely, we were never meant to solely consume. They were meant to advance the master's kingdom. Everything that makes you, you, all the unique characteristics about you, everything that you've been given, the big goal is to advance the master's kingdom. To advance the master's kingdom in Abilene, in the big country. We pray for revival. When we stop consuming and start trying to advance the master's kingdom, we see revival. And we each have a responsibility with the talents that we've been given. When the master went on his long journey, he doesn't expect his servants to just sit there and do nothing. He had an expectation. They would take what they'd been given and they would go and they would use it. He expected them to advance his kingdom. So the question I have for you is this: what are you doing with what you have? It's a question I've been asking myself a lot. What am I doing with what I have? With the unique things that make me me? With my time? With my finances? As we take a stock of our life, as we look at our life and how we spend, who we are we primarily consuming it for our own betterment, or are we using it to advance the master's kingdom? Because our natural tendency is to consume. It is not our natural tendency to invest. See, if we remember our parable, the first and second service, it says they went immediately. They immediately went and did something. And the third servant, he did nothing. If we're going to live lives investing who we are to advance the master's kingdom, it's going to require intentional action on our part. This week, as I was praying through this parable, I was walking around the South Campus and I was thinking just about my time. I thought, you know what? I spend my time pretty well. Like, I generally eat at home with my family. I work the amount of hours I'm supposed to, not a ton more. Like, generally, I think I'm hitting the mark on how I spend my time, but that question kept eating at me, like, what am I doing with what I have? And I realized that I'd gotten into the habit of just hoping that I use my time in the right way. Just hoping that I might be able to use it in the ways that I should. Fun truth of the night, hoping is worthless whenever action is the expectation. You cannot hope to invest your money. You know what you do? Invest your money. We cannot hope to use our time well. We have to intentionally choose to use our time well. We cannot hope to use our own talents to advance the kingdom. We have to intentionally do it. Maybe you're like, I don't know how. Guess what? The parable doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us how we have to use the talents that we've been given. It just tells us to use them. Probably because stewarding can be done in a bunch of different ways. You can use your resources, your financial resources. You could use them by going to the food pantry and buying and paying, giving money to the food pantry, which we talked about last week. You could go give it to a nonprofit in town that's doing incredible things. You could give it to someone overseas. You could give it to church. You could use your money a million different ways. And if the Bible said this is exactly what it looks like, you know what? So many other things wouldn't get done. You be the you who you are called to be. It doesn't tell us how we have to use them because we at some point have to just do whatever God calls us to do, and sometimes we just have to do something. If you aren't sure what to do, do something. Do anything. Find something that needs to be done and just do it. I got a really sweet testimony from a North Campus family a couple of weeks ago. It said this. This is from Jeremiah and Kim Beal. I don't know if anyone knows them. They moved to Burleson. They've been a part of our team for a while. She said this. This morning, our girls are sick. We're watching a local church online, and their first worship song was My Testimony. It hit me hard thanking God for all the things he's done in our life. Then I was reminded the last time we sang this song was in church. This song in church was at the place our freedom started. The place we will always call home and is a big part of our testimony, and that's Beltway, but most importantly, the people in it. Of course, we give all glory to God for our testimony. We are who we are because of Jesus and his power, but the part of our testimony where freedom and redemption began was the moment we walked through the doors at Beltway and the work of his sons and daughters there. So I write this email to say thank you all for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you for all the classes, hospitality, times taken aside to just lend an ear to prayer, hallway conversations, and most of all, your friendships. I cannot think of a deeper way to say thank you, but our family is forever grateful for the mark you have each left on our hearts and lives. Our family and future generations are forever changed. Thank you for being a part of our testimony. Guess what? Some of you played a role in that testimony. Some of you were the ones that prayed for them up at the front. Or you watched their daughters over in Kids Park. Some of you were the ones that handed them the bulletin or greeted them as they came in. Some of you gave financially to this church, which helped this happen. Some of you get to see the reward in your own life for all that you invested in a family like the Beals. So if you don't know what to do, do something. In your park news this week, you'll see a little thing that says All In Serve Opportunities. There's a QR code there. You can scan that. If you're looking for something to do, guess what? We have things you can do around here. Our kids ministry is booming. God's doing incredible things over there. They could use some of you to do something over there. We can always use people, and I'm going to point them out, and they're going to hate this, but Jesse and Irma Molina are right back there. They greet at this door every single Thursday night, and I see them. And every single Thursday night, they greet every person that comes in that door with an enormous smile. And you know what? That is often people's very first impression of Beltway, and it puts people in a position that they feel safe and comfortable in this place to interact with God because of the faithfulness of somebody doing something like Jesse and Irma. We have people like that all over this room. You don't know what to do. Do something. Do anything. Find something that needs to be done, because I know that inaction is not an option, because we will be judged by what we do with what we have, what we've been given. Each of these parables and these stories, and in Matthew 25, Jesus is reiterating that. And I know none of us likes the idea of judgment. Nobody just relishes the thought of facing judgment. Whether we like it or not, it is coming. And we spent the last 3 weeks talking about God will judge us at some point. And one of those things we will be judged is what we do with what we had. When we look at the first two servants, when they face that crossroad of will I use mine and invest it, or will I consume it and go bankrupt, they chose to invest. And what they received is reward. You know what we don't know? We don't know if they even knew they would get a reward at the end. You and I, we know that. We know if we choose to invest our life, we will receive a reward. That is what this parable shouts to us, that if we choose to live a life of investing all that we've been given, we will receive a reward. The third servant at that crossroads, he chose to consume it and do nothing. And we saw the judgment that he faced. And often the reason that we do not live our lives investing is the same reason that the third servant did, and it's fear. We're afraid that God won't do what he said he was going to do. So when we feel that tug in our heart, and maybe you and your spouse have talked about, we need to tithe, and you think, God, I know that 90% is less than 100%. And I'm not sure you'll actually come through in the end for me if I choose to do this. Or maybe God might be nudging you to serve with our Boots on the Ground ministry that builds ramps for people that can't get out of their homes on Saturdays, and they build beds for kids in the foster system. Maybe that's what God is calling you to. And you think, but God, those weekends, those are my time. Those are me time. And if I give those up, then what am I going to be given in return? And we fear what God will do because we lack trust. We struggle to believe that God will do what he said he will do. But we overcome our fear by trusting the master. Every time I stand on this stage or at the South Campus, every time, bar none, I fear. I fear big things. I fear small things. I'm always afraid that I left my zipper down. That's just the truth. I fear I might say something dumb like I just did. I fear what you might think about me. More than all of that, I fear that I'm going to stand up here for 40 minutes and waste all of your time. Everyone's going to leave, and it'll be a waste of a Thursday night or a Sunday morning. And I can choose to let that fear cripple me, and trust me, that would be so easy. At some point, I have to remember, it's not about me at all. He says in Scripture that some are called to plant seeds, some are called to water seeds, but only God's going to make them grow. He promises that His word always has an effect, that it never comes back void. So I fight against that fear by trusting that God will do what He said He's going to do. And often He uses a broken vessel to do whatever He wants. I understand the fear. I do. I get the fear of tithing. It's overwhelming. I get the fear of starting to serve in church. I get the fear of investing our time, because time is precious, or investing our abilities. I understand all the fears. What we can't let is our fear cause us to bury our head in the sand and bury our talent in the ground. We have to trust the Master will do what He said He's going to do, because He is who He said He is, and He will always be. So if you will, if you put your Bibles away, I'm going to give you just a moment. Because here's what some of you need to hear tonight. Some of you need to hear, well done. None of us feel like we're using our lives the best way we can. Some of you need to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You need to hear it from the Master, not from me. If you will, if you bow your heads. And I just want you to ask yourself this question. What am I doing with what I've been given? And then if you're bold enough, just wild enough, pray a scary prayer. God, what might You be calling me to? God, we all want to be one of the first two servants. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little, I will entrust you with much. Enter into the joy of your Master. God, in the areas of our life that maybe we are just consuming, would You show us and would You give us the boldness to go after those? And in areas where we need to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, would You allow our ears to be open to whatever You are trying to say? God, we say thank You for all that You're doing. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. If you will, if you'll stand up, if you're part of our